we welcome to the Cambridge 105 studio Chris Hindley, who's playing Estragon in One Tree Theatre's pending production. It starts on Friday the 31st of March of Waiting for Godot, and it'll be on at the Festival Theatre here in Cambridge. So good morning, Chris.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, well, a pleasure to have you. And Rosina is, I think, oh, look, here she comes. She's coming through the door.
Burst through the door.
Come, take a seat. We waited.
Sorry,
that's okay. You plonk your headphones on, Rosina. So Rosina's just arriving. I heard a rumour that you were out drinking vino last night. Is that true?
I wish I had. It's just, yeah.
Now, you're a little off mic there.
So hello.
That's it, in between you.
And if, sorry about that.
You're going to have to share.
And everybody else.
That's okay. So I'm going to talk to Chris first to give you a chance to compose yourself, because it would be really mean of me to say, right, Rosina, tell us about the play just after you've walked in.
Go ahead.
So, Chris, tell us very briefly, if you can, Waiting for Godot. What's it about?
It's quite complicated. It's about two men waiting on a road for a chap called Godot to turn up. We don't really know what they're waiting, what he's promised them, or what the deal is when he gets to them. And they wait. And if he doesn't turn up, they'll turn up the next night and wait again until he comes. And it's how they amuse themselves and entertain themselves while waiting, and nobody comes, people do come. There are other people in the cast and in the show.
Right, and it's about these guys' interaction with those people, presumably, isn't it?
It is, and it was first produced in France. It was written by Samuel Beckett, a very famous Irish writer, of course, and it was first written in French and produced in France in the 1950s.
Right.
And it got a bit of a reputation of being a very deep play with a lot of hidden meanings, and it's been interpreted in many different ways. And we're doing it, over the years, people have come to understand, and Beckett himself said that you can interpret it any way you like, because it's just a story about two men waiting for Godot. So,
and presumably in their dialogue and the people they meet, it's quite a deep play, isn't it? They're talking about lots of things.
It is a deep play, and there are a lot of references and a lot of meaning in it. But it is also a very, very funny play, and we hope the audience will have a really good laugh, because it's described by Beckett as a tragicomedy.
Right.
And there are some even slapstick moments. So quite frankly, it's, I hope we do it justice on both the slapstick and the deep stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rosina?
Yeah, I agree completely. And the way I approached the play as the director with the actors was, do not overthink it or overdo it, as in, The deep stuff, yeah, Chris is making all sort of gestures here, which I wish you could see him. But the deep stuff is there.
Yes.
It's going to come through anyway. So let's explore more of the comedy of it.
Yes.
And there are some moments in rehearsals that we are even in laughter, because we cannot believe after months. So it's a tragic comedy, as Chris was saying, and it's a play that, when I told my colleagues back home and I said, oh, I'm going to put Waiting for Godot on stage, they went, no, that play, that's the answer to it. You know, everybody's kind of, people are scared to put this play on stage because it's not a normal play. Nothing really happens. So, and also Beckett, when he wrote it, this is a two-act play.
Yes.
And in that time, the plays were all three acts plays, where the first act was a sort of introduction, presenting the characters. The second act was the developing of the story, and the third act was the conclusion and the ending. But he came up with two act play with almost the same structure per act.
Right.
And when the argument is not linear at all, and it's circular.
Yes, it's very circular.
Yeah. And so it was a bit of a shock for this scene in the mid-50s, because people were, you know, after the war as well, people were used to a different kind of theatre, and he broke all the rules. And it's very interesting to keep doing it now, because I think it's got a lot to do. It's got a lot to do with the world we live in now.
Yes.
The play. So.
Yeah, so it's still relevant even today. Yeah. And go on, Chris.
I was just going to say, I think it is relevant. I mean, the modern life is rush, 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 and very, very busy and fast. This play says, it shows the contrast with people who have to wait or are in a process of being totally slow. What happens when there is nothing else happening with the action between people?
Yes.
You know, when all that rush and hurry and, you know, there's no traffic, nothing. It's all taken out and it's all stripped very bare.
And there's no mundane actions. There's no everyday actions in the play. They're there waiting.
Right. I take off my boots.
Yeah, that's your mundane action, Estragon.
And you both wear bowler hats, I think, don't you? Is
all
that
of
right?
Them, yeah.
All of them. Now, can I ask about that? Because you were saying it's open to interpretation. And I know with things like Shakespeare, for example, that is presented and sometimes it's done in 1940s costume and sometimes it's done in period costume and sometimes it's done in... does this play lend itself to that sort of treatment or do you have to stick fairly rigidly to the way that Beckett wrote it with the striking look of the cast wearing bowler hats and all that stuff?
Yeah, well, we have to stick to Beckett's words. And
right.
Also, I think you have to, even not only because of copyright, but also because... when Beckett puts a pause in the text or a silence, and if you don't do it, and then you do it, it changes the scene so much.
Yes.
And you think, oh my God, this guy was clever. You know, because he put the exact indications where they have to be. So I'm constantly asking the actors, there's a silence there, there's a pause there, don't rattle the lines, because the whole scene becomes a different scene if you do the silence as well, because the words become more... the meaning changes. The complete meaning changes.
Yes, I mean, on the costumes and the set, Beckett was very precise about the bowler hats. Nobody really knows why, and he never explained why the bowler hats. I mean, you could do pretty much anything with the rest of the costumes, but it seems to fit. It just seems to fit a classical pattern.
Yeah, yes. Because the bowler hat sets the tone. So the fact that he said all four wear bowler hats, then where do you go from there? Because you're not going to wear jeans and T-shirts with bowler hats.
Yeah.
So it kind of sets the tone of the costumes. And for the set, he says at the beginning, a country road, a tree.
Yes.
And that's it. And that's all you have. And you can't add anything to it. And I think it's great that you can't add anything to it, because all you need is a country road and a tree.
Yeah, everything is absolutely stripped bare, but it makes it a challenge, but I think it'll be good. We're doing it in the Festival Theatre, which is not often open as a theatre, and it's it was built in 1814 and it is housed in the Cambridge Buddhist Centre in Newmarket Road. The town end of Newmarket Road, and it's a great venue to come and see any play in.
Yeah.
So we're hoping people will try and link the play and the venue together.
Yeah, it's a 200-year-old theatre, and it's pretty well preserved, and it's a lovely place. It's a U-shaped wooden theatre with a gallery.
Yeah, sounds fantastic.
It is. It's
really
fantastic.
Nice.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and not many people in Cambridge get to see it. So it's very good.
And do we get during the course of the play with our two main characters? Do we get to find out much about them? Do we know much about them? Does the play explain that, or is it more about the dialogue and the things they're talking about than them?
We build. Our characters, the actors build their characters under my direction, and I asked them precisely to build a story between them, not only with the information that's on the play, but also, you know, they've got a story that it might come through, but it also helps them root their lines, which is very important. And there is some information in the text. Sometimes it's a bit, you need to read between lines.
Yes.
To know exactly what happened with these two.
Yes.
And also there's a lot of, you can tell that they've known each other for ages. And you can tell that they're almost like a couple. for a moment.
A bit like an old married couple.
Yes. And the way
we argue and we fight and then we make up and we
embrace.
Like each other and then we don't like each other.
Yes.
And it's Estragon, am I pronouncing that correctly? And Vladimir, they're the
Vladimir.
Two. And so the two of you, I would imagine, I've not seen this play, but there must have been a lot of it hangs around you. There's a lot of dialogue to learn, I would imagine, isn't there?
Yes, there is a lot of dialogue, and a lot of it is quite repetitive because Estragon forgets very easily, and he continually asks, what should we do now? Let's go. And the answer comes back, we can't, because we're waiting for Godot, of course. So there's a lot of circular text. But then the play doesn't just hang on the two of us. There's three other characters. Two come on. One is a bit of a steampunk landowner type chap. He comes on with his roped slave, who carries all his bags and his good food and wine with him, and we interact with him, and that's a nice little bit of entertainment.
That's the fun bit, I think.
Yes. And then there's a young lad who comes on and says, well, it would be giving too much of the plot away. So there's a young lad who bounces onto stage and is the complete antidote to any of us, this young lad.
We've got a 9-year-old boy in the
cast.
Oh,
wow. Yes, so. I saw his picture. And how's he coped with being in such a serious play? Or not serious play, but you know, a serious piece of work,
yeah,
I should say.
I think he was excited to be part of Waiting for Godot because, you know, it's a play that is challenging. And he, surprisingly, he knew about the play and he came to the audition and we were chatting about the play and he knew, he unravelled the true meaning of it. So that was really amazing for us because he understood it.
Yes. Well, he's young enough now. He's got another 50 years. He can probably play every part. He can start by the boy and then he can move up to Pozzo, who is the steampunk chap who comes on. And then he can move up to Estragon or Vladimir when he gets as old as me. Another 60 years.
Speaking of Estragon and Vladimir and how clever this play is. So Estragon, it's more emotions, it's more heart.
Yes.
And Vladimir is more brain and he's the sensible one.
Yes.
But Beckett wrote this so cleverly that you can tell that in every single line they say. So the characters keep their yin and yang thing throughout the play.
Yes.
And there's a little moment where one changes and says Estragon, which is all heart and emotions, and then he starts making decisions and Vladimir goes, what are you doing? This is not you, you know? So it's so cleverly written that it actually makes it a bit easy to kind of understand and then put it on stage and direct it. But obviously it's a huge challenge. But from that point of view, it's fantastic, really, because they are a bit yin-yang and that makes a great balance on stage. And it's very interesting to see, I think.
You've done a great job of selling it, I have to say. And we are out of time, I'm afraid.
Right. Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
One Tree Theatre Company was set up really to, first of all, to do this as our first play. We're a new production company in Cambridge and we're going to carry on after this. We've been really well supported by a crowdfunding effort for this first thing, and then hopefully we will be developing for the future. But also we did get a bursary from Shakespeare at the George in Huntingdon.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd like to say thank you for that. And they are putting on Pericles, King of Tyre, in June.
Yeah.
So we'd like to say thank you for their support.
Yeah, well, thank you to them. And let's also not go without doing the final reminder of when and where and all of that. So there are three performances, aren't they? Friday the 31st, Friday the 31st of March, Saturday the 1st of April, Sunday the 2nd of April. The Sunday 2nd of April is a matinee at 2:30 in the afternoon. The other two are evening performances at the Festival Theatre in the Buddhist Centre, 38 Newmarket Road, Cambridge.
And you can get your tickets at www.adcticketing.com/Godot.
Excellent. Okay, and if you just Google One Tree Theatre, we'll find the website as well.
Or on the door.
Or also we have a Facebook page, so you can find us on Facebook as well. 1-1-3 Theatre Productions.
Excellent. Well, listen, thank you, Rosina, for coming
Thank you so much.
And I'm glad you made it. I'm glad we weren't waiting for Rosina, because we were
waiting
doing that. We're not
Rosina.
Waiting for Godot, we were waiting for Rosina. That's what we were
you
saying.
You're going to be waiting forever.
And thank you very much also to Chris.
Thanks very much for having us.
Yeah, great. And do you know, something is...